This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
In a similar vein, is people who have done PC games, or a lot of them moving towards consoles, because the consoles always do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, mission-specific hardware.
They're mission-specific, right? And they're a lot more attractive that way because they don't have to install new hardware every time they get a new game. It just works for what they want to do.
This is Brad with Rocky Mountain Voices. I'm here today with Bill Harper and with John Yoon, both from Control 4. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Hi, this is Bill. I'm the Director of Product Development for Control 4. They asked me in here to talk about why wouldn't you want to use a PC to control your home. I'm a systems programmer by training, a computer engineer. I've been doing it for about 17 years now, primarily in the embedded systems world, embedded communications, both with PCs and with embedded systems. So I have a lot of experience with systems with and without operating systems, with PCs, with 8-bit microcontrollers, you name it. It's kind of interesting to see things like products out there that are attempting to use a PC to essentially control your house or control lots of things. There are a lot of effective places where that can happen, but PCs essentially, by definition, are general purpose. They're built to run any application that a user might install on. This could be a mail application or some silly game your kid put on there. Any of those applications you may install may completely take over your machine. And what happens to your house at that point, right? You want to control your lights or you want to play some music, and your little kid's game that he downloaded all of a sudden is, lo and behold, is a piece of malware, and it's connecting to the internet and downloading things into your PC. All these kind of things are experiences that everyone's probably had with a PC. It's definitely not an experience that you want to have in controlling your house.
Yeah, but Bill, this is John. What happens if a guy says, look, I'm going to buy a PC and I'm going to just not put anything else on it. I'm just going to run my home on it. It's just going to sit in a dark room and be still and quiet.
Sure. When's the last time you've seen a PC be still and quiet? Even if it's just sitting and running by itself. Even Windows by itself is going out and installing updates by itself and also rebooting itself. The hardware itself is not necessarily tailored to be on 24/7. You know, when I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I want to turn the lights on, I want to run some scene, so I want to go get a midnight snack or something, I don't want my computer to be rebooting because it got the latest, you know, patch download from Microsoft and it's rebooting now and I can't do the things I want to do. So, I mean, it's primarily from a software perspective, but also from a hardware one as well, to have a component that's tailored to do what it's supposed to do. Another example of, in a similar vein, is people who have done PC games in the past are a lot of them moving towards consoles because the consoles always do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, mission-specific hardware.
They're mission-specific, right? And they're a lot more attractive that way because they don't have to install new hardware every time they get a new game. It just works for what they want to do.
And it's actually a lot less money in the grand scheme of things because it's purpose-built.
Right. $400 Xbox can beat my $2,000 PC in terms of how it renders the game and the gameplay. Not that I would know. I'm not saying.
I thought you liked Wii's.
Yeah, I'm a closet Wii fanboy. So, but who isn't, really? I mean, anytime you can play without arms or legs.
That's because he can't stay alive on the Xbox.
But, you know, Bill brings up excellent points that the original architecture was laid out for how we would do a control system here. We decided, look, we could go the PC route, sure. And a lot of people have done that. And but in terms of having the reliability and the availability and be able to do the additional stuff, I think that the technical team, Bill's crew, picked the harder path, but they picked the better path, in our opinion, from the standpoint that it enables us to still enjoy the cost advantages that you get from the PC industry, but without actually putting us on the same risk path that a lot of PC-based systems might have. Now, all of that said, we love PCs. I mean, every house has got a PC. There are certainly a lot more PCs out there. Windows Media Center is a fantastic product. I mean, I've got one in my media room. It's great. And I run it with my Control 4 system. You know, when I want to watch the DVR capability, and I press my Control 4 remote and sends a Zigbee signal out and sets the right channel on my, turns my projector on, sets the right audio path, and it's all good. It's all good. So we definitely see it having an increasing place in the American, in the home, not just the American home, but in all people's homes. But we don't see it as the beast running the show necessarily. I mean, ask yourself this. When was the last time you saw a professional mechanic whip out a Leatherman tool as his primary way of getting access? I mean, he's got an incredibly dedicated tool set, and it's the right tool for the right job, and that's really our philosophy. Anytime you make a general purpose tool like a Leatherman, you're going to wind up with a compromise. I mean, the plier's not as good no offense to Leatherman, but the plier is not as good as a purpose-built, you know, pair of needle nose for this one task, or a vice grip for this other task, or whatnot. It's great because it's convenient, and you can put it on your belt.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, when's the last time you saw a car actually being run by Windows operating system or by a PC, right? So there are situations in which you don't want to have a general purpose computer controlling the system. A car is a prime example just because of safety concerns, right? There's a lot of huge issues around all that kind of
stuff. Anti-lock brakes, blue screen.
Right.
Not so much.
Everything in your car is actually controlled by a computer, but would you want that computer to be a PC? Definitely not. So the next step is, well, would you want that the same to be in your house, right?
And again, that we don't want to make it sound like we hate PCs. We love PCs.
Sure, we all owe multiple.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the right piece.
With all your experience and background, we've obviously heard that the purpose built is going to be important. Mm-hmm. You've heard that uptime and availability and all those things are critical as well. What do you see the Control 4 system evolving to include in the PC generation?
Sure. I mean, there's, for us, even today, we involve the PC, like as John says, as a source. Like, we can use Media Center as a source. Coming forward in the future with a lot of other industry standards like DLNA, we'll have the ability to integrate in other media sources, whether we're going to use the content from those media sources or we're going to be the actual renderer for those media. We'll work either way. I think that one of the key things Control 4 is interested in is interoperability with lots of things.
Yeah, we need to get along. I mean, we talk a lot about the PC, but Apple's done some phenomenally brilliant things as well. And so we look at them as another, it sounds egocentric. We don't mean to say that, we'll control everything. But people have these systems in their homes now, and they want to be able to integrate them into a system where you can get lights and music, or lights in your theater and your temperature, all working together, all these separate silos of technology all working together. That's what we do. We have no desire to say, oh, well, if you have a Media Center PC or if you have a Mac, then you shouldn't have one of our systems. Oh, quite the contrary. Quite the contrary.
We'll take all comers.
Yeah, people who have those technologies clearly believe that technology is an important thing in their lives. And we clearly believe that we can help that technology in their homes, in their lives, just play nicer with each other. We're sort of like the playground monitor from that standpoint. And we're purpose-built for that.
We want to just make things easier for people, right? I mean, it's a complex world out there with a lot of complex things. And if someone can build a system that helps glue that together in some nice, easy fashion, it would be pretty nice, right?
I look at the touch screen, and I look at what you've done to integrate these systems from a consumer perspective. I mean, there's a lot of work that you've done, again, in a purpose-built system to provide a control interface to the home. Mm-hmm. I don't want to always have to go over, wiggle my mouse, put in a password to open up my system to change my lighting in my home.
Right.
I think that's a prime example is that when I pick up a Control 4 touch panel, it always controls your house. Nothing else is going on other than you pick it up and you press the button and it controls your house. It controls your light. It's not, oh, I got to close down my email program and flip to some other thing. That's what it does. It's really focused at controlling your home.
And all these other systems, like you said, are accessible through Ethernet, through Zigbee, through Wi-Fi.
Sure, right.
Whatever it takes, they're all standards-based, and they become part of my digital home.
You bet.
And they're all, you're leveraging whatever their purpose was.
Mm-hmm. That's a great word, leverage, because, I mean, people's iPods, people's Media Center PCs, people's Macintoshes, these are all reasons why, I mean, the media's been digitized. People who have these kinds of things are saying, hey, I'm okay with having the 21st century media experience. I'm okay with having, you know, HD DVDs. I'm okay with having MP3s or AAC files. But I want them to be easier for me to pull out. iPod is great for one person. I want that same richness of experience with that music for everybody in my house or for every room in my house. And that's the part that we enable.
Yeah, you definitely would like to have enable your kids and your wife and your grandparents to actually have the same experience as you, as some technophile would have.
You're the alpha geek ability in your family.
Sure.
Well, I think the other thing to point out here is you're not scared of future technologies coming into the home either.
Sure.
Because you've built a platform, in a sense, that can integrate through standards other devices as they become available.
Sure,
absolutely. A lot of times people want to sort of put us in a, hey, so you guys really don't like Microsoft, or you guys really should be concerned about this. It's like, no, absolutely not. I mean, this is a pie that right now is so small, and we can grow it, and everyone can get a slice of it. And we're real believers of the fact that once you have an automated home, once you can pick up a remote and pick out a song and have that song play in whatever room that you want, or go to your, you know, your beautiful 42-inch widescreen TV and have your entire movie collection show up and say, hey, tonight I feel like watching Ocean's 11, or maybe some other George Clooney movie. What else do I have? Once you have that experience, it's really, it's like going from black and white to color. It's like going from mono to 5.1 or 7.1 sound. You never, ever can imagine going back. We are really excited about that. We're just scratching the surface. There's more than enough room at the table. Bill's big challenge, I think, is keeping track of all of this stuff and making sure that we play nice with everything that's out there and that's emerging. And Media Center PC, iPods, all of the digital jewelry that you have, it's all part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, you brought up the point of how you're using your PC in your home. Give me a couple of scenarios where, rather than make the PC the center of the home automation, it's part of it all.
Well, I mean, a good example, even in my house, I mean, I have a really large music collection that I actually have cataloged and sitting
all
on
all legally
my PC.
Obtained, I might add.
Oh, for sure. I actually own all the albums. I have all the CDs sitting in my house. But I have them on a really large hard drive. And, you know, every year the hard drives get nothing but bigger. And so I can go easily into a PC and I can upgrade a hard drive or I can change software on that PC, great. But my whole Control 4 system can move along with it, be able to catalog that same music, be able to play that music throughout my house. But it's not just stuck on my PC, it's also available everywhere in my house. I also think to your point about technology is continually changing, we've built an architecture that we try to future-proof ourselves in the sense that we can integrate in easily pretty much anybody else's system that we want to. So if another popular system comes up that it's a different source that may be in the house or different things that we could potentially control, great. We'll integrate it in.
And you encourage that to a certain extent.
Sure, you bet.
Absolutely.
And you're looking for standards-based players to play with you.
Yes. Yeah, that's our only real hurdle is that it's tough for us to do one-offs and proprietaries. We don't like that because, again, it's against our ethos of, hey, we want as many people to take this as possible and to put it into their lives and enjoy it. And proprietary is sort of, it's a tougher hurdle for us. And so, you know, we talk about Zigbee, we talk about Ethernet, we talk about DLNA, we talk about, a lot of our efforts are really centered around making sure standards are at the heart of our product offerings.
So a lot of people are out there probably listening to this thinking, you know, I don't know a lot about home automation yet, but I'm interested. I want to know more. What would you advise them to do, Bill? Where can they learn more or where should they start?
Well, I mean, one of the things, I'm sure we can look at via our website, we have a lot of information about our products, but look at the competitors, look at the Media Center, look what they can do. And ask yourself, I mean, visualize the thing. For instance, I want to control my lights. Well, if I get a Media Center, that's not going to control your lights. You need a lot of other stuff to do that. What is that stuff? Where are you going to find it? You know, I have to go then get together all these separate pieces from all these different places to actually do that. You know, the fact that I can just get to my media, that's great. What about my lighting? Or what about controlling my garage door? What about having a door sensor? What about talking to my security or my thermostat? You can't easily do those things. You want to visualize what you want to do in your home automation, right? And look at each of those products with that vision.
Not be stuck in a box is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You could buy an expensive thing that's general purpose.
Right.
And at the same time, you could have spent just as much on a purpose-built solution or
that's right. With the same amount of extensibility, right? I mean, so with a general purpose system, it's built to be completely extensible software-wise. Granted, you have to buy hardware to hook into it to talk to things. But in our system, we're in some ways just as extensible, but we're just tailored to doing automation and integrating those automation pieces together.
Yeah, I mean, to put some punctuation on the dollars, for $599, you can get a basic controller with a remote control that is capable of running your entire house. When I say basic, that's our starter package. And the cool thing about that is that it'll run your house. It'll run three floors. It'll run, I don't know how many bedrooms you have, Brad. I know you were angling for a system, but that I'm very confident that that we could put a device like that in your home and it would run 150 light switches.
Sure.
You could do your media library. You could automate your home theater so that when you press play, it turns on your widescreen or your projector and drops the screen down and dims the lights and adjusts the thermostat.
And I can throw away all the remotes. That's all I want.
Throw away all the remotes.
Get rid of all those remotes.
Or you can add in a speaker point product into another room that you've never been able to listen music to.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you can listen to your whole digital music catalog in a different room.
100 gigs of legally obtained music now available in your garage.
Sure.
When you're puttering around, hiding out from your wife.
Sure.
Well, this has been fun, and it's probably something I can understand because I do use a PC every day. Mm-hmm. I have for many years.
So do I.
Yeah.
So
does
we all do.
Everybody does.
We want to integrate. In fact, Wi-Fi in my home was such a revolutionary and fun experience because it was something, unless I had a computer connected to the internet at work, I couldn't really have as much fun as I was. So I can see that a lot of the leverage that the market's learning how these things can work. And seeing the benefit of having a laptop on your lap wirelessly, you know, those are things that...
If that puts a smile on your face, when you get a home automation system put in, you will be giddy and unspeakably insufferable. We won't want to see you for the next couple of weeks. Okay. You'll just feel a little
crazy. It's a freeing experience, just like the Wi-Fi.
It's very
liberating. It's a very freeing experience.
It's very much like that.
I can do a lot of things I didn't even know I could do, and easily.
Well, thanks again, guys. I think it's been... been very educational and fun to talk with you. John, thanks for the jokes. Bill, it's good to meet you.
Excellent. And, nice to meet you too.
Obviously, you've got a good background and this experience to draw from. So thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.